Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
And we're back. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Waveguides podcast. This open forum is brought to you by South Cars, the South Coast amateur radio service. All listeners are encouraged to check in. All contacts and requests for information will be handled through net control. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System. Gotta get used to saying that. I've always been used to saying the West Michigan Private Leon Repeater Network, but it's no longer called that. It is now the Great Lakes Reflector System and is gratefully provided by Mike KB8ZGL, and we are thankful to him for supplying us with said server because it gives us a chance to get together every week. This net is conducted under the guidelines of our organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97, Industry Canada Rules, and Good Amateur Practice. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com. And for our digital operation, www.voip.southcars.com. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. All right, hearing nothing on an extra long pause, and that's exactly the way we like it. Let's get started. Your net control for this session is me, Pete Victor, Echo 2 X-Ray, Papa Lima. I'm located in beautiful Montreal, Canada. The temperature tonight is minus 8 degrees Celsius, about 18 degrees Fahrenheit. We've got a nice fluffy white snow falling on the city tonight. It's very beautiful. Snow in the city tends to get very grimy very quick, for those of you who do know those parts, and we're very thankful when a nice fresh blanket of snow falls. Of course, we don't want it too thick, you know, we don't want it a foot or two thick, but just a quarter or a half inch to freshen everything gives us a nice fresh start and makes everything look fresh and pristine again. So do we have anyone celebrating a birthday this week? If there's anyone celebrating their birthday in their next 7 days, come on aboard and say hi to us. No birthday check-ins this week. Well, if you are having a birthday, happy birthday to you. And you guys can check in at any time during the net, of course. This is, once again, the TNT Open Forum. Emphasis on the open part of the forum, so we do encourage your participation. That being said, the opinions stated on this show are those of the commentators and do not necessarily represent those of the South Cars organization. My usual disclaimer for the week. All right, let's see, where are we at? We are at announcements. You'll have to excuse me, I'm a little bit discombobulated this week. My daughter was in here asking me about all kinds of interesting questions, and instead of preparing for the show, I was answering her questions. It's quite interesting, actually. This is Isabel, my older daughter, was asking me why, she has this little remote control helicopter, was asking me why the rotors on it spin, so I had to frantically search through the internet and take a crash course on aerodynamics, but we got her an answer, and she was quite pleased. So it's fun. The curiosity of kids helps us to learn as well. So that being said, announcements, NCS, of course, and administrative people are always needed here at South Cars. Please contact us at voip@southcars.com. As well, we always are seeking worldwide hospitality people to act as ambassadors of goodwill, the people who will be greeting those new visitors who come and say hello. We just want to get a hopefully organized a bunch of people, not that the people will be disorganized, but we wish to organize a group of people to cover some very heavier traffic times when we can have somebody there to say hello should some new person visit South Cars, or if someone's seeking for information and you feel that you want to do that, give us a shout, voip@southcars.com. And we wish to thank each and every one of you for your participation with the South Cars VOIP organization. This wing of South Cars started on its first net 3 years ago on January 5th, well, 3 years ago yesterday, on January 5th of 2008, but I'm not going to split hairs. 3 years old, so happy birthday, South Cars VOIP. The FirstNet started with an enrollment of 102 new members. And 3 years later, at the start of our fourth year, our membership, as of yesterday, had grown to over 1,900 on the VOIP side. And, of course, our combined membership between HF and VOIP, the entire South Cars flagship, boasting 10,600 people. Nothing to be sneezed at. We're proud of the organization, and we're especially proud of you guys, because it's because of you guys that this organization exists, and it's because of you guys that we've grown so fast. So we wish to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And the following postings may be found on the HF and now all new on the VOIP website as well. The two South Cars luncheons that are planned for January and February 2011, the first two South Cars activities, if you will, the first one being January 8th, 2011. That's in 2 days, this weekend in Lakeland, Florida. Oh, that says, let's see, the Golden Corral Restaurant. Pardon me, my eyes are going fuzzy. Exit 32 off I-4, 4705 U.S. Highway 98 in Lakeland, Florida. Perhaps you pronounce it Lakeland. But either way, come one, come all. There'll be tailgate, eyeball QSOs in the parking lot until noon, 12 p.m. Eastern. And you go through the buffet line at your convenience and individually. February 5th, the second South Cars Luncheon, February 5th, 2011, in Valdosta, Georgia, the Old Time Country Buffet, which is in the same location as last year, and that be 1193 North St. Augustine Road. That is off exit 18, Interstate 75 in Valdosta, Georgia. Tailgate and eyeball QSO as well, parking lot until noon. Go through the buffet line individually, same modus operandi as the first event. So for either of those, either or both of those activities, please communicate with the organizer, Rick, ND4Z. You might know him as Trader Rick if you plan to attend. Let Rick know, either on the air, 7.251 on HF, on the SCAR server, which you're listening to right now, at nd4z@yahoo.com, nd4z@yahoo.com, or also his phone number is posted on the VOIP and HF websites if you want to give him a shout on the phone. Each person who attends will receive a South Cars decal and membership cards. Again, come one, come all. And let's not forget that the TNT Open Forum is recorded every week and turned into the Waveguides podcast, which is posted on www.waveguides.ca. That's the direct link. And, of course, it's even easier than that. You can go to www.voip.southcars.com, and you can check on the left, and there's a link. It says South Cars TNT podcast. Actually, it just says TNT Podcast, because you're on the South Cars website. But check it out. There's a link there to our weekly shows. And there's a interesting archive now since 2009 and 2010 episodes are archived, so you can go in there and check out any episode you may have missed. And there you go. We'd like to wish you guys welcome who are here live and also those of you listening via podcast. And we hope you enjoy our show today. I was supposed to read some news now, but I didn't have time to go through any interesting news articles that I came across, so maybe I'll skip that part for now. I'll take this quick opportunity. We're a good bunch of people connected tonight. There's over 20 stations connected. Hello to Gordon, KY6V, who waved to me in the text box. Our regular co-hosts are here. Tony, KJ4PUJ, Mike, KD0CDQ, Craig, WE2Q, is here with us tonight. So hello to you guys, and Sarah, who accepted our invitation, but Sarah wanted to listen from afar because she's busy doing stuff around the house. So hello to all y'all, and hello to everybody else who is connected. I'll take this quick opportunity before we introduce the subject tonight, a quick roundtable of our co-hosts so they can say hello to y'all for the first time in the new year. I'll start in the order in which they were connected so that there's no favoritism, and technically that should be Mr. KY6V, so I don't know if Gordon might be actually far away from the computer, and if you are, don't come running, but if not, come say a quick hello. Gordon, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and I did have to do a quick split in order to get to the handset, or the headset. Good evening, Pete. Good evening, South Cars. Gordon, KY6V. We're riding in the background with you, sir. We're on the admin box. We're going to sit down for dinner, but I'll tell you what, I'll take a quick gulp if you do one of these shows like you just did here a moment ago. If you have a chance, touch base with Tony, if you would, VK7AX, whenever it fits, and see if he's available for Australia Saturday night. I need confirmation on that. Been trying to get his attention in the text box, and he's probably on his iPhone and not watching text or something. Thank you, Pete. KY6V, over.
Yeah, no worries. Well, there's a little note in the text box that says, "Stand by Gordon." So perhaps he's on another call. I don't know. Well, let's give him a shout. If you are there and wish to come aboard now, VK7AX, the mic is yours. And if not, you can chime in a little later. Over to you, VK7AX from V2XPL in Montreal. No, there you go. He set to stand by. So we will stand by. We'll call on you a little bit later. Also, quick hello in the text box to KC9JZM. My God, that type is small. I got to get me a bigger monitor. I'm getting older. My eyes are failing me ever so slowly. That's the way it'd be. And hello to Kathy, also in the text box, K6SUN. Hello to all y'all. I'm happy to have you guys aboard. I've got a good group tonight. I'm very happy. With that, we'll turn it over to the next person on the list in the order in which they connected, and that would be Mr. Craig, WE2Q. Welcome aboard tonight, and come say hello on this first episode of 2011.
Good evening, Gordon, everyone else on the net. I hope I've finally got this machine going. We had some problems here for the last couple of minutes. It was breaking up and dropping all over the place, but from the indication, it looks like it's holding steady. Good evening, Pete Gordon, everyone else on the net. Hope everyone brought in a new year well and is looking forward to a prosperous year and standing by to participate in the net and see what Pete has up on the agenda for the evening for going green. And with that, I'll say 7-3, and I'm going to check my connections one more time, Pete.
Yeah, well, thanks for being there. Appreciate you hopping in there, saying hello, and it sounds great. No problems here. I wasn't, my Echolink computer is way on the right of me, so I wasn't monitoring your bar graph, but it sounded good in the headphones, so I think you're good. It sounds stable. There's no breakup, so I think you're in good shape. Whatever you did, keep doing it. It works. All right. I've just noticed I've already been blabbing for 15 minutes, so we'll get to the subject at hand in a few. I noticed VK7AX key up, so I don't know if Tony, VK7AX, you want to give it another shot. Over to you from V2XPL in Montreal.
Yeah, roger, Pete.
That one down.
V2XPL for the South Coast Net. VK7AX returning. Just a few things here that was holding me up. I was busy. You'll note there's two IRLP nodes now connected, Pete. One of them being 6616. You'll know that one, and the other one's from Hobart. So we were busy dropping them off another net and bringing them up, and for some reason my Echolink's a bit slow to transmit, and that's why I didn't come back before. Good evening or good afternoon from here in Australia. It's just gone 12, or it's about 16 minutes past 12 midday on a very warm sunny day. So I'll pop it back to you, Pete. Thanks for letting me in. V2XPL for the South Coast Net. This is VK7 Alpha X-ray.
Very good, very good. Well, it's all a public service, and we're happy to do it. So with that, let's move right along. We'll say a quick hello to Mike. Next on the list, one of our esteemed co-hosts, KD0CDQ. Come on aboard and say hi on this first episode of 2011, Mike.
Good evening, Pete, and everyone else here. What a fine, sweet collection we have. I say, I like this, looking at this list. I know that you want to look at going green tonight, so I did a quick survey of the 1,400 teens that I work with in high school to find out what are they doing to get green. Not true. That would not be green, checking all 1,400 little slugs as to what they're doing. Instead, I went on the Internet, so I found some interesting ideas of what teams are doing to go green. But while I was doing that, what's keeping me busy is Gordon. Gordon keeps us busy, does he not? Here I have my Morse code sheet here, and I've been listening to his recording, and he's got me all hot to trot to learn Morse code. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So I'll be standing by here and do whatever you need done, Pete. I'm standing by. Hello again, everybody. This is KD0CDQ in Kansas.
Yeah, well, most excellent, Mike. As usual, I will be leaving approximately 3 or 4 second pauses between transmissions. If anybody wants to jump in there, well, that's your opportunity. You don't always have to wait for me to invite you because sometimes I forget. So just jump on in there if you have something to say. And I've noted that on my sheet, Mike. We'll be calling on you, and I'm interested to see what results you've come up with. And last but not least on our list of esteemed co-hosts, I thought I'd seen him earlier, but maybe he's dropped out. KJ4PUJ, or perhaps I just hallucinated that. But if you're coming through another link, come aboard. Tony mentioned he might be a bit late tonight, so I may have just hallucinated his call. But let me throw a quick call out there in case he's on one of the nodes or repeaters. KJ4PUJ, are you with us from V2XPL? Yeah, okay. We'll just chalk that up to another hallucination on my part. One of the many. Okay, so tonight, as you know, as you may or may not know, we're going to be doing part two of our Going Green series. A month ago, on, December 2nd already, we did part one, where I read an article which was entitled, Is Ham Radio Green? This was written by WA2KKG, Kenneth Eicher of Landing, New Jersey. And we discussed some of his thoughts on whether our hobby was green, which was actually supposed to be the second part of our first show. There wasn't supposed to be two parts to the show. It was all supposed to be one, but we had so many comments on the first show it turned into an interesting discussion that I split the show into two. So tonight we're going to be discussing 10 ways to go green. These are 10 easy ways, easy steps that are very painless, very inexpensive or free, little things you can do to go a little bit greener. And what was interesting, as I was reading through this article that I came across, and of course if you Google going green or tips on how to go green or however you want to phrase it, it'll come up with hundreds of hits. There's plenty of information out there. I took this from worldwatch.org, and I'll come back to that in a second. But what I found interesting on a lot of these tips was that they don't only save the energy or, you know, stay green, they'll also save you money. So, you know, not that this is the PC thing to say, but even if you're not interested in going green, you know, you can do it just to save money. If that's your motivation, do it. Do it to save money. And in the process, well, you'll be saving a little bit of the planet too, according to some. With that, let me take a quick pause before I time out. And this is the only thing. Oh, wow, those are loud birds. This is the only thing I could come up with that was kind of green, so, okay, that's enough birds. yeah, I failed miserably on that one, didn't I? All right, 10 ways to go green, easy tips from www.worldwatch.org. This organization is based in Washington, D.C. The World Watch Institute is an independent research organization that's recognized by leaders around the world for its accessible fact-based analysis of critical global issues. The Institute's three main program areas include climate and energy, food and agriculture, and the green economy. So they've been around pretty much since 1974, and I won't read you the blah, blah, blah and all them. You could check them out. They're a very reputable organization, www.worldwatch.org. Hi, Voitnet to you too. Happy New Year. KD4 Oscar Victor India, Pete in the text box. So we'll be we're doing part two of Going Green. KD4 OVI was instrumental in our first half of the discussion where he brought us a little bit of green concerns in his area was the conservation of the manatees. Of course, KD4 Oscar Victor India living in Florida. So we'll come back to you in a little bit too, Pete, because you always have interesting things to say when it comes to this subject. So, all right, let's get started. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. I'm in Montreal. So save energy to save money. These are the first set of tips. And these make a lot of sense too. Set your thermostat a few degrees lower in the winter. a few degrees higher in the summer. So this way you save on heating, you save on cooling costs. Make sure that your house, your windows are well insulated and well sealed. You can install compact fluorescent light bulbs, CFLs, when your older incandescent bulbs burn out. However, keep in mind that CFLs need to be disposed of properly because of their mercury content. And there's even been concerns about CFLs. If they break in your house, the stuff that's in it, the mercury is very toxic. So some people claim that you shouldn't even have them in your house. I have no opinion. You know, they save money if you're careful with them. Are they any more dangerous than having a thermometer in your house? Well, that I don't know. You have to make your own decision on that. The beauty of the CFL, and this is something that I found months ago, it's an article in one of the magazines, is that you can use a lot of the part in a CFL light bulb to make a homebrew QRP CW transmitter. Literally like 3/4 of the parts are in this little CFL bulb. If you're interested in that, just look up AA1TJ, Alpha Alpha 1 Tango Juliet, and he's the one who wrote the article on a homebrew QRP CW transmitter from a CFL light bulb. It's pretty interesting things that you could do. Next thing you could do is unplug appliances when you're not using them. Of course, if you use a smart power strip that senses appliances that are off, then they'll cut the phantom or the vampire energy use on their own. If not, you can unplug them. A lot of appliances use energy even when you don't think they're really using energy. The most obvious one is, you know, VCRs and things that have little blinking lights and clocks and things. Wall warts, you know, adapters, 120 to 12 volt adapters that we affectionately called wall warts. Even when nothing's plugged into those, the capacitors and components inside are leaching, you know, microvolts of electricity. But if you have 100 wall warts all around your house or a dozen or so, it kind of all adds up. So those are little things you could do to save energy, and in the process you'll be saving yourself some money. Washing your clothes in cold water whenever possible. As much as 80 to 85% of the energy used to machine wash clothes goes to heating the water. If you can, use a drying rack, a clothes line, to save on energy that would otherwise be used by your dryer. And of course, turn off lights. If you can install timer switches, that's ideal. Then you don't really have to think about it. It happens all by itself. But getting into the habit of just turning the lights off when you leave a room is a good thing to do. And around here, believe me, around the Landry V2XPL household, it's a chore because, everywhere, every room that the kids have been in, because even if they're not there or even on that floor, all the lights are on. So we're trying to instill that in our children now, one, to save the energy and also to save money. All right, saving water. You can take shorter showers to reduce water use. This will lower your water and heating bills too. Installing low-flow shower heads are a good idea. They don't cost much. And, you know, the savings quickly pay for your investment. They're a couple of dollars, literally. Make sure that your faucets have aerators on each faucet. These inexpensive appliances can serve heat and water while keeping the water pressure high. Of course, if you have leaky faucets, you could fix your leaky faucets because those drips turn into pennies and dollars as time goes on, too. And you can also, in the water department, you can plant drought-tolerant native plants in your garden. Many plants need minimal watering. You could just go to your local expert and find out which occur naturally in your area. That way you don't have to spend so much time watering your plants. Saving time, too, on that one. All right, gasoline. Well, this in these days, with the price of gas going up and up and up, I've been hearing crazy reports that the U.S. gallon is going to go up as high as $5 maybe this year or sometime next year. That's unheard of. The price of a liter of gas here is about $1.25 on average. It's been averaging between $1.15 and $1.25 pretty much all week, the last week and a half, which translates to just about $4 a gallon. So it's already pretty expensive. Of course, you'd speak to people in Europe, and the cost of gas is even higher in Europe. So we've got it pretty good if you're in comparison. However, any gas that you can save means less pollution in the air and means more money in your wallet. So how can you save gas? Well, the obvious ways, of course, walking, biking, using public transit to get to work or to get where you're going is always good. This saves on gas, saves on cost and frustration of trying to have to find parking. It improves your cardiovascular health and reduces your risk of obesity and heart disease. But walking and biking are great exercises. I think right after swimming, they're the best things that you could do for yourself. So it's an easy way to start getting into shape too. I'm gonna divert a little bit into another topic, but walking is a very pain-free way of getting started on an exercise program. It's free, it's easy, and you can burn a lot of calories just by walking around. All right, back to saving gas and money. Don't idle your car needlessly. We see a lot of that around here, especially in the winter. People tend to idle their cars because they don't want to get into a cold car. They don't want their cars getting cold. But if you idle your car, if you're idling more than 30 seconds, then you can turn your engine off. You'll actually be saving on gas. And you know the old wives' tale that it costs more money to start up your car than to let it run. Well, that's true under 15 or 30 seconds. But after that, you can safely turn off the ignition key, and you'll be saving yourself some money. Consider telecommuting if you live far from your work, or if you can move closer. Sometimes moving closer means paying more rent, but you could save money in the long run in gas or transportation costs. Of course, you'll have to figure that out on your own, but it's worth looking into. You can also lobby your local government to increase spending on sidewalks, on bike lanes, bike paths. This is a little cost for these improvements that pay huge dividends in bettering the health, reducing traffic, and in improving your community. All right, eating smart. Let's see, buy locally raised, humane, and organic meats, eggs, and dairy wherever you can. Purchasing from local farmers keeps money in the local economy. You can compost everything that can be composted. That's also a good thing to do for the environment. And then you turn that compost into very nice, rich, black soil that you can use in your garden. So you don't have to go out and buy your soil. You're literally making your own soil. Skip the bottled water, of course. If you can, use a water filter to purify tap water instead of buying bottled water. That's what we do here. It works quite well. Not only is bottled water very expensive, but it generates large amounts of container waste, of plastic waste, and I'm sure you guys have all seen those commercials. There's one that's playing up here that's kind of interesting. This lady walks in from jogging, and she's got her plastic water bottle, and basically she walks into her kitchen, and she's up to her thighs in plastic water bottles, and basically it's just a visual to show you how many water bottles that the average consumer uses in a year, and it's in the hundreds. So if you can, filter your water, or you could also bottle your water yourself, your tap water, by using reusable water bottles, preferably aluminum rather than plastic, because of the latest bisphenol craze. You want to avoid that. So if you're traveling, well, it's easy to carry around with you. Also, a lot of these bottled water companies will say that they have the purest water and it's spring water and this and that. Well, unless you verify that, there's no way of knowing if the company is not just using tap water in their bottles and selling it to you at outrageous prices. That's the other thing. I don't know about everywhere else in the world, but here in Canada, the price of bottled water is just, it's ridiculous. It just blows my mind. It's more expensive. It's literally, by the liter, I have compared, it is literally more expensive than gasoline. So, tap water is good, and if you can filter it, it's even better. And if you live in some places, in big cities, usually the tap water is more than acceptable. Tap water here in Montreal is fine. They chlorinate it a little bit. I like to filter mine because my nose is sensitive to the chlorine. Spent too much time in pools, in public pools as a kid, I guess. But I like to take just the smell of the chlorine out, so that's why I filter it. But to the taste, the water is wonderful. I was in New York City 2 years ago for a wedding, and I was amazed at the quality of the tap water in New York City. It was like drinking, I grew up on a farm. It was like almost like drinking fresh water right from your local spring. So very, very impressive, and congratulations to the New York City Waterworks people. You guys are doing a fine, fine job. I recommend everybody experience New York City tap water if you're there, by the way. I'm not joking about this. I was very surprised. All right, halfway through the list, I'll take a quick pause here to identify. My name is Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima, transmitting to you tonight from Montreal. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Waveguides podcast on the South Cars server. So welcome to everyone who is with us tonight, be you live or people who are joining us via podcast. Take a quick break here and see if anybody would like to check in on anything they've heard so far. Questions, comments, come on aboard. Welcome. All right, well then, let's continue with number six on the list, Think Before You Buy. I think that's self-explanatory. That goes for not just going green or saving money. I think you should just think before you buy anytime you buy anything. But anyhow, go online. That's the beauty of the Internet now, is the information is at your fingertips. When I bought my last vehicle, I researched everything online. I saved myself tens of hours having to go from this dealership to that dealership to get information. Got all my information online when I got there. You can see right through the salesman's sales pitch too, so you're a more informed consumer. So Google it, people. Highly recommend that as well. Go online. Find newer, gently used secondhand products is another thing that you can do as well. Another beauty of the online community. Whether you've just moved, you're looking to redecorate, services like Craigslist, free sharing, places like that where you can track down furniture, appliances. They're usually very, very cheap or free in most instances. There's even a thing called Freebay, and I believe it's North American. It's certainly very big here, but you can just Google Freebay, just like eBay, but it's Freebay. People who want to give stuff away, if you don't want to, even if you wanted to get rid of stuff, you put it on Freebay, and they have community sections, and sections for Montreal, sections for Toronto, sections for New York City, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty big. And you guys can get rid of your stuff that you don't want to throw away, or you might be able to find something free. So websites like that can be very, very useful. Garage sales, thrift stores, consignment shops, where you can find clothing or everyday items that you use that don't necessarily need to be new. Instead of taking something new, you could use something that's gently used, and you're helping the environment and helping yourself. When you're making purchases, make sure you know what's good stuff and what isn't. That's where the research comes in. Google search or any, Bing or whatever search engine you might use. And you can watch videos about all of these products. Like I said, the Internet is a huge resource for great information. And also you can look for fair trade items in any category, be it fair trade coffee, fair trade clothing, etc. Check out www.fairtrade.org for information regarding that. Of course, all of these links that I'm just kind of rambling off at the top of my list here will be included in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about writing anything down. It'll be right there for you, just one click away. Another thing you can do is to borrow instead of buying. You can borrow from libraries instead of buying books and movies. That's a little known secret, by the way. Your local library is a really good source of DVDs usually, and it's free. So instead of going to the video store and renting your DVD, you could usually go to the library and borrow it for free. So of course they don't have as big a selection, but they usually have the most of the major titles, and they have a much more interesting documentary section than your local video store will as well. So that's a really good place to go if you're looking for movies. Of course, borrowing books and things like that is also a good idea. And as well, the money you save will also help to save ink and paper that doesn't go into the new books that you're buying. You can also share power tools and other appliances. Get to know your neighbors. So if you're cutting down the number of things that are cluttering your closet and your garage as a bonus, that's a good thing. Of course, if you're borrowing stuff from your neighbor, make sure that you can lend him things as well, so you don't become that neighbor who borrows stuff all the time and never gives it back. Make sure you give it back. Very important if you want to borrow something next time. But borrowing things is a good thing. Me and my neighbor have a good understanding. I lend him my ladder. He lends me his generator. I haven't had to buy a ladder, and he hasn't had to buy a generator, so we're helping each other out that way. And, it kind of helps to foster community spirit as well. You got to help your neighbors. So that's a neat little thing that you could do. Buying in bulk is a good idea to save money. Of course, if you live in an apartment that's 300 square feet, well, you know, that might not be your best plan, but you can pick and choose. You could buy certain things in bulk. This way, you buy it in bins. You're saving money. You're saving on packaging. And you don't have to go shopping as often either. You can wear clothes that don't need to be dry cleaned. That's a good way to save the environment, save money, save time. Save on the hassle of having to go into the dry cleaners all the time. And it also cuts down on the toxic chemicals that are used in dry cleaning. And whenever you can, invest in high-quality, long-lasting products. Of course, you'll pay more for them off the bat, but you'll be happy you don't have to replace them as frequently. And this also means less waste. And I learned that the hard way, you know. Buying as a young person, you tend to try to save money. You buy things cheap, and you usually end up having to buy them two or three times. So buying high-quality anything is usually a good bet, excuse me. And especially if you're buying big-ticket items, you know, sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more, and you know that you'll have that item for that much longer. When possible, keep your electronics out of the trash. I don't mean your working electronics, of course, but all your old cell phones, computers, keep them as long as possible. Computers especially, for those of you who don't know Linux, I encourage you to discover Linux, because you could take a lot of roadkill computers, things that you wouldn't even consider running under Windows, and they'll run you just fine under Linux. So keep them as long as possible. Cell phones is the same. Donate them or recycle them whenever possible when the time comes for you to upgrade. E-waste contains a lot of mercury, contains other toxic chemicals, is made of plastic, of course, and it's a growing environmental problem. As you know, we live in a throwaway society, and we tend to upgrade computers. You know, computers kind of go stale after a couple of years nowadays, so they end up in landfills. Sometimes if they're too old, even schools don't even want them. So unfortunately, it's very expensive to get organized, and you know, companies would have to pay money to gather these and donate them to third world countries or et cetera. So because of fiscal constraints, I guess, a lot of it gets thrown in the trash. And I see that where I work too. Sometimes they throw it in the trash because they say it's cheaper to throw it away than to recycle it, which is kind of a shame. But, you know, businesses have to make money, and that's the beauty of capitalism, the beauty and the curse, I guess. So recycle anything you can. Use them as long as you can. And this is where you could ask your local government to set up an electronics recycling and hazardous waste collection event or program in your community if one doesn't already exist. And last but not least on my list is make your own cleaning supplies. This is a big secret. You can make very effective, non-toxic cleaning products whenever and wherever you need them. All you need is a few very, very simple ingredients. Baking soda, vinegar, lemon, soap. Basically, you can make your cleaning products to clean anything in your house. This will make your this will help you save money. You'll save time, because making it at home saves you the trouble of having to go to the store. Of course, if you go into the store anyways, you can argue that argument, but that's all right. You're not adding to all the packaging, and you're totally improving your indoor air quality. A lot of the ailments that we have been, you know, theories. Of course, these are all theories, but they say that they have been attributed to a lot of the chemicals that are floating around our house that are just emanating from the cans and bottles and sprays that we have of all the various toxic products that we have floating around the house. So if you're making your own, baking soda, vinegar, lemon, and soap, those are not toxic, and they're very effective. And as a bonus item, stay informed about going green. Stay informed about saving money. Spread the word. Especially encourage youth to think about everything they do. You know, everything that you do has an impact on society, on consumerism. So stay informed. And that's the end of my list. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima. I'm transmitting from Montreal. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Wave Guides podcast. And we're going to open it up for discussion now. We've been chatting for about 45 minutes. Not a lot of fodder for discussion, so let's see if anybody has anything to add. If you have anything you'd like to say, if you agree, disagree, if you have anything you'd like to add, please come aboard now. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum.
WE2Q.
Well, WE2Q, welcome, Craig. Go ahead.
Pete, great job and a great list. I don't have too much to add. I just wanted to mention that we've gone through in our house and replaced most of the lights with CFIs and unplugged all the wall warts and actually taken some of those and put on a power strip so that when we're done charging the cell phones and the like, we shut that off. But another one, I don't believe I heard you mention it, was we always brew coffee in the morning and have it around during the day. Taking it off the heater and shutting it off and pouring it into a thermos appears to have made a significant difference in our monthly electric bill as well. All those things combined, I'm sure. But any of those things you notice, that anything that's burning electricity, if you can shut it off, it really makes a difference. That was all I had, just a real minor thing. But great job, Pete. Thanks for the work.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks for that. That's a great tip, and that's huge. Everybody drinks coffee, and everybody wants to save money, so that's a good tip indeed. I know that a lot of people don't like to leave it on the burner. You know, some people do that. They'll leave it on the burner, and then they'll come back to it a little later on, and then, you know, it's either too strong or it's overheated or, you know, putting it in the thermos is a good way to keep it fresh, keep it warm, and like you said, to save money. And anything that has an element, you know, stoves, furnaces, heaters of all kinds will use tremendous amounts of electricity compared to a light bulb, et cetera, as you all know. Of course, we're all amateur radio operators. We know this stuff. So it kind of comes second nature to us. But that's a very good tip. Thank you very much. And Noah, that list... while being a good list, it's certainly not a complete list. I mean, there's probably 1,000 more items I could have thrown on there. These were the ones that I thought were the simplest and the easiest, and like I said, as an added bonus, they'll save you money in the long run. So that's a good incentive right there. And you can thank WorldWatch.org for doing the work for me. I just do a lot of reading on my lunch hours, so I come across a lot of interesting articles. So very good. Well, chime in again, Craig, if you have anything else to say. Don't be shy. Anybody else for the TNT Open Forum? The mics are open. Come on aboard.
KD4OVI.
All right. Pete, KD4OVI, welcome. Come on aboard.
Thank you very much, Pete, and thank you for all the good comments you made about conserving energy. You know, you could probably get one of these parabolic mirrors and set some water in the center of it and get your hot water that way for free. Only investment you have to do is buy yourself an old parabolic mirror and put your water in and get free hot water, providing the sunshine shines, of course. Also, the energy from the sun, however you can convert it, use that as energy. I believe there's a lot of conversions being done in the world using the... and if you're close to a underground hot water geysers, which might be in your neighborhood, you can tap off some of that energy that's coming off of there in forms of heat. You can always convert heat to energy. All is there for you. So if you're close to that geyser out there in the west, and you can tap in a couple of pipes into that system, maybe you get yourself hot water, whatever. A lot of good stuff on Mother Earth that you can use. But don't forget my magnolias. They need a lot of water, and I'm telling you. But they're beautiful, even though you give them a little bit of water. It doesn't hurt. It provides beauty and it provides a good scenic ambience to your house. Back to you, Pete. KD4, ask you, Virginia.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute the mic. I'm talking to myself there, wondering why the bar graph wasn't moving. Thanks for checking in with us, Pete. I appreciate your comments as always. Yeah, the magnolias are beautiful, I agree. There's two families who have magnolia trees on our street. One's just across the street from me. And when it blooms, oh my God, they're just beautiful. I agree with you completely. And World Watch was just saying they were just encouraging people to plant. I guess they want you to plant cactuses is what they want you to plant, so you don't have to water them too much. No, not a problem. It's like anything. As long as you don't overdo it, you know, it's balance. You got to have balance in your life and in every aspect of your life. So I guess all they're asking is that you balance that aspect of your life too. And you mentioned I never mentioned, but solar energy. Of course, solar panels are very popular nowadays, and they're getting less and less expensive. You can get these 12 volt solar panels to run all of your ham radio gear on if you want. Of course, the panels themselves won't run the gear, but you connect the panels to batteries, and the solar panels charge the batteries, and the batteries run your gear, and that way you've got one, you're off the grid, so you're not dependent on the city or the county for electricity, and if the grid goes down, well, you're still up. Your antenna's up there, you got your internal power source. Another good little trick is to get a little 12-volt generator that you can attach to some sort of fan and use wind power as well. And then you mentioned the sun as well, and that reminded me of sun ovens. You can cook all kinds of stuff with the sun ovens or solar cookers. Just do a Google search on sun oven or solar cooker. You can get them for as low as about $200 if you want to buy one that's factory made, or you can make your own out of a box and foil. And basically, you can cook a turkey in a sun oven if you want, using zero electricity and saving yourself tons of money. Might be a little harder at this time of year in Montreal. Here, that would work really well in the summer. But depending on where you're in the world, you do what you can with what you got. So I recommend Googling sun oven or solar cookers. All right, anybody else want to chime in? The mics are open. Welcome aboard.
Six, Victor.
Welcome aboard KY6V. Gordon, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Pete. KY6V here. I wanted to take you back a little bit on some of your discussion. I need an explanation to sort of clear my mind on the difference between a liter and a gallon. You were talking about gas and gas prices, and I think you said it was running somewhere between a little over a dollar and maybe $1.25, something like that. We're running about $3.17 on an overall average. It's up and down, but an overall average down here in the U.S. I've done a little bit of Googling here, and I know the difference between a liter and a gallon. But basically speaking, can you explain to me what are you, a third of the cost of what we're doing down here, over?
Well, the actual figure is somewhere along, let me see if I can pull it up real quick there. 3.785 liters is 1 U.S. gallon. Of course, there's also a difference between U.S. gallons and imperial gallons, but we'll talk U.S. gallons right now. So basically, rule of thumb here is 4 to 1. Roughly 4 liters is 4 liters is 1 imperial gallon. 3.785 liters is 1 U.S. gallon. Gas for us is running. Let's see. I bought some yesterday at 1.17 per liter. So that's let's see, 8. That runs you about $4.50 a U.S. gallon, roughly. So. Of course, we're on the metric system, so they sell us gas by the liter. It seems less cheap that way because you're paying, you know, $1.17 a liter instead of $4.58 a gallon. It's all psychological. It's the same thing, of course. But does that answer your question? I'm not sure that I understood it properly, but I think that's where you were going. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did. Is there a difference, Pete, between your Canadian liter and the British, I should say British gallon, I guess. I agree. You know, I did a little searching on this because I was curious. 3.785 liters is correct, 0.833 to a British gallon. Where does the difference come in to British? Over.
There's a difference between a U.S. gallon and an imperial gallon. An imperial gallon, or imperial gallon as in a U.K. gallon, is a little bit bigger, roughly by, you know, about a quarter of a liter. Exactly, I couldn't tell you, and why that difference exists, I have not researched that. I know that it's been like that for a very long time. I've just never asked the question, but I should do that, because that is a very good question. If anybody's got an answer, well, I encourage you to chime in, but that's as much as I can tell you right now. Although with the price of gas going up and up and up, you can guarantee that I'll be doing more research on this as time goes on. Because it's just, it's flabbergasting is the only way I can put it, the way the price of gas keeps going up. And, of course, we've kind of diverted, but gas falls into the green debate anyways. The price of gas isn't even consistent within our country. From east to west in Canada, the fluctuation in the price of gas is 10 or 12 cents a liter. That doesn't make sense, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It should be the same price everywhere, but, you know, supply and demand, yada, yada. They have all kinds of excuses, but basically, no matter what the excuses come out, the prices keep going up anyways, and we have built a society in which we are very reliant on our vehicles, and we're pretty much at their mercy. So that's the way that goes, and that's my humble opinion on that, and does not reflect the opinions of South Cars necessarily. So with that, do you have anything to add, Gordon?
I'll tell you what, you're a great politician, Pete. KY6V here. For my edification, evaluation, and elucidation, what is the rate of exchange between a dollar in Canada and one here in the U.S.? Over.
Presently, the U.S. dollar is trading at 0.996 cents, so it's almost at parity. On New Year's Day, it busted up above the U.S. dollar by a couple of fraction points, but then throughout the day it went back under, and it's been floating around parity for the last 5 or 6 days. So right now there is no difference to speak of. Over.
Interesting to know. You're paying more for gas than we are. Okay, Pete. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you letting me in here. I know you got a number of others that want to come in. KY6V, over.
This is KD0CDQ with an observation from Europe.
I didn't realize you were in Europe today, Michael, but go ahead.
I am not, but yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, I had a contact in Copenhagen, Denmark. And Klaus in Copenhagen said he's paying $2 a liter, and he figured it that it was about 3.5 liters to a gallon. So he's paying like $7 plus a gallon for gasoline up there in Copenhagen. And his little old car, he says, only gets 13 miles to the gallon. The only benefit he had, he said, Copenhagen and Denmark is a small country. We don't have to drive too far to get anywhere. So they're really getting nailed in Europe at $2 a liter. Back to you, Pete.
Yeah, I agree, and that's not a new phenomenon. That's been going on ever since I've been driving and paying attention to gas prices, and probably even longer. Keep in mind that Europe is much more crowded than we are. Their rate of the prices have to do with their rates of taxes are much higher because the incentives are for people to use BMW, bus, metro, walk, as we like to say here in Montreal, and they just try to get people to not use their cars because the population is so dense. Look at places like Rome, like Paris, London, where there's just too many cars to support for the infrastructure to support. So some of the high prices have to do with that, and a lot of it has to do with some sort of mysterious algorithm that only seems to be known by the people at OPEC, I think. But anyhow, yeah, that is an interesting observation indeed. And in comparison, we've got it good for now, you know. So the grass is always greener, they say. You always have it better than somebody else, so you could take comfort in that fact. I think that Pete, Mike, did you have anything else to add to that?
Well, just that I did have some ways that they recommend that they say that teens go green. I don't know if you want me to do some of these. They're kind of funny a little bit. We can make them funny. But they are even getting into, some of the teens are going to thrift stores and garage sales, and they call it cool vintage outfits. They buy old-fashioned clothes. They like to wear them to school, look pretty cool that way. That's one thing I've noticed and one thing they say that they do. And I'm looking at some other oddball things. They eat vegetables one day per week, and that's pretty weird for children to eat veggies. But they're saying do veggies one day per week. They don't eat any meat products for one day. And I'm just looking down the list, vaguely here. They're saying they should download their music rather than having it shipped and using CDs and cases. So they do downloads to save some energy. And they even, funny thing is, they wear comfy organic cotton T-shirts, they tell me. So I don't know what's so comfy about their T-shirts other than our T-shirts, but they get into that. And they also, something interesting, they say that organic coffee and fair traded coffee takes less energy, I suppose, to make that coffee, and that's what they try to buy. They try to locate organic and fair trade coffee. And the last thing I found on their list is that they try to make their boyfriends go green. I don't know what they mean by making them go green. I don't know if they spray paint them or what they do, but what I gather is they try to encourage their beaus to use less energy. That's about the basic things besides recycling their cell phones and eating organic. They talk green. Teens like to talk a lot, of course, and they tend to have conversations about how to go green. And that's another thing that teens do to help our planet go green. That's about all I got out of teens today, doing a quick survey. Back to you, Pete. This is very interesting what you put out. I enjoyed what you put out tonight, very much so, Pete. Back to you.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the trend up here is the same. The younger generation seem to be very into the retro clothes, you know, the vintage clothes. A lot of the stuff from the 60s and 70s has come back, and the thrift stores is full of them, and it's an inexpensive way to get really nice clothes. I actually go to the thrift stores here with my kids a lot, and I end up buying stuff for myself because people get rid of some really nice clothes, and the stuff that especially my work clothes, I have to look nice when I work, but I don't want to spend a lot of money on my clothes because I'm often, you know, behind audio cabinets and under things looking at wires, and I don't want to spend $100 on a pair of pants and then ruin them because I have to crawl under some desk to fix a wire. So I buy a lot of my quote-unquote nice work clothes at thrift stores because nobody knows the difference. I get a lot of compliments on the clothes I wear. And believe me, I'm not the most fashion-savvy guy around, so that's big for me. But it's a good thing to do indeed. The fair trade coffee that you mentioned, I think that has more to do with when it's organic, so there's no pesticides used, et cetera, et cetera. But the fair trade has more to do, I think, with the fact that they're paying the people who are cultivating the coffee fair wages for their work instead of companies using quote-unquote slave labor to make maximum profits. So I think that's where the fair trade comes in more than on the environmental standpoint, but the organic part is certainly environmental. So thanks for that, Michael. Those are all very, very interesting. We'll come right back to you. I have Pete, KD4OBI, who's been trying to get in, been waving to me in the text box for a bit. So, K6SUN has a comment as well, and you'll be next. Over to you, Pete, KD4OBI. This is V2XPL in Montreal.
Thank you, Pete. KD4OBI, big ginger down in Central Florida. Well, the thing of it is, I think they're trying to convince people to buy cars that are powered electric, you know, these semi-electric, semi-gas cars that you can run economically, and I think that's why they're pushing to get the people to get off the gas and go electric, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're doing it. Why they're upping the price. They're trying to convince people, hey, look what you're going to save by going electric. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that's what they're trying to do here. But but that's what I'm thinking. And I am going to go and go into the other room and have my good show tonight, Pete. Nice talking to you, and have yourself a good night. From KD4, Oscar Victor India, toodaloo.
Oh, very good. Well, thanks for being there, Pete. Always appreciate your participation. Yeah, the hybrid cars are interesting. And unfortunately, they're still a little expensive, but it's like any new thing. You know, as time goes on and demand grows, the prices will certainly come down. I'm not convinced that the money that you're spending extra, right now I think the hybrids are too expensive, at least here in Canada. They're still pretty expensive. And over the course of the lifetime of your ownership, you will never save that money in gas, you know, in gas that you save, because the price difference is too great. But that will improve in time, and I think that'll be a viable option. As for them trying to get you to buy them, I think that's more marketing than anything, because you know that there's a big trend on going green, and that's another thing you have to be savvy about. Is if you want to go green, make sure that the label that says that this product is green is really green. And you know, there's a lot of companies who have been accused of putting on a green sticker just to be fashionable and marketable, but they're not green at all. So do your research. You know, just because it says something on the label doesn't mean it's true. And in the case of hybrid cars, well, unfortunately, I think that there's, you know, the oil industry is too powerful to let hybrid or alternate energy cars become too popular right now. So that's my conspiracy theorist coming out. But I think that that market has been stunted because of corporate efforts on the other side. And again, personal opinion, but you know, where there's money to be lost, you'll get a fight there. So anyhow, thanks for being there, Pete. KD4OVI, appreciate your comments. Over to Kathy, who's been very patient. Welcome, K6SUN.
Well, good evening, Pete, and good evening to everyone listening. I would like you to call on PUJ. He says he can't stay long, and he just connected. So I will be patient and wait. So why don't you call on KJ4PUJ? And Tony, glad to hear about your news. Maybe Pete, call on him first and then come back to me. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, roger that. What the lady wants, the lady gets. KJ4PUJ, I saw you pop in there not too long ago. Welcome. Thanks for the email you sent me. I thought that was very, very interesting. Your points, you make some very good points. I don't know if I'll consider this to be one of the few feedbacks that I get to the TNT Open Forum. And it makes for some interesting things to reflect on and would make for some interesting discussion. But go ahead, Tony. I know you can't stay very long.
Thanks, Pete, and thanks, Kathy. Sorry I was late getting here. About 10 till 8, we had a quick cold front pass through, and it opened up the skies briefly and with some thunder, and we had some power fluctuations. So it took me a while to get back on the air after I reset everything. Anything, good to be back. Very grateful to be back here on TNT and back on the radio in general, and thanks for the well wishes, everybody. And I will turn it back over to Pete, and to go back to Kathy. I can't stay long. I'll be disconnecting here momentarily, but I will be back soon in full force, and we'll go from there.
All right, I got it back. All right, I'm sorry, but I had to mute station, IRLP station 2870. I will unmute you shortly, but you were causing a constant key-up. I did hear someone trying to break in, so let me pick up Kathy here, and then we'll unmute you and come back to you. Perhaps you're having problems with the equipment. Perhaps not. We'll find out shortly anyways. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate your comments, and thanks for being there. I know how those fronts can come in really quick, and we completely understand that. So where was I? Oh, yeah, I just wanted to address the one thing that you mentioned in your email, if I may. There's one phrase that says, there is no scientific proof that global warming exists. I agreed with all of your email except for that one fact. There's a lot of scientific proof that global warming exists, but there's also a lot of scientific proof that global warming doesn't exist. So there's scientific proof on both sides, people claim. So who do you believe? And again, I refer to do your homework and do your research, and that's the best thing you could do for yourself. All right, Kathy, you've been more than patient. Come on aboard. K6SUN, welcome.
Well, good evening, Pete and everyone else again. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I just want to put a well wishes out there to PUJ. a safe recovery, and glad everything is okay with you, and we're looking forward to you coming back in full gear. But Pete, I did want to make just a few comments about going green, I guess, and things that I've noticed that I do down here in Florida. So recently, in fact yesterday, I filled up my gas tank with gas, $3.07, so that's a little bit less than yours. I have a very small car, and I can go the entire week. I only live about 12 miles or 10 miles from my school location, so I can go the entire week, so I'm able to fill that up 1 week and then go through the entire week. But I just wanted to give you some thoughts on what I do to try to conserve. I do a lot of sewing, sewing clothes, repairing clothes. I've done that since I was very young. And that's how I, you know, conserve a little bit. But that's how I get most of my clothes. But I found some interesting comments from CDQ, and a lot of those connected as far as gas and your leaders. And as you know, I've been from that area, so the leaders have changed. So it looks like we are a little less in gas. I did want to tell you, and I hope I won't time out here, I wanted to tell you about my water heater. I do turn off my water heater in the evening. I turn it on again in the morning, just enough to take a shower, and then I turn it off again, unless I'm going to do the dishwasher or laundry. But it has saved me a lot in my electric bill, so I've saved that. Recently, we just took down the hurricane shutters, so they have been up since, I believe, May or June. The house has been quite dark, but we haven't used the electricity too much there. But I think that's conserved a little bit. As far as the heat, I don't turn that on too much. When I get up in the morning here in Vero Beach, sometimes it's 69, but I don't turn on the heat too much. I just bundle up a little bit. Dishwasher, I run a cycle, and then I open that door to air dry the dishes. I pull out the plugs that aren't being used. This is for the computer as well as the cell phone. If I'm not using that cell phone, I just unplug that plug. I wait till my cell phone is down to one bar, and then I connect that cell phone. But that's just about it. But I did want to make those comments, and I wanted to thank everyone for joining us tonight, and just wanted to say hello and to say good news about Tony. So I hope that has given you some information, but I'm going to go make my dinner and maybe head to bed. So I will turn it back to you, VE2XVL, and thanks for picking me up.
Thank you for being there, Kathy. I appreciate your comments. Those are all good things to do. Every little bit that you can do helps. I like the sewing. I'm actually looking, it's too bad you don't live closer. I'm actually looking for a good seamstress right now because I have three or four items that I really like that I don't want to get rid of, that I want to have repaired. So I'll find one. Sharon's got a lot of connections, so she'll find me. I have this really good pair of pants that are full of holes that I like to wear around the house because they got lots of pockets. So when I'm doing stuff, I can put tools and connectors and things in there. So good idea. Turning off the hot water heater, that's a big one. Like I said, anything that has a heating element is a huge consumer of electricity, although hot water heaters now are much more efficient than they were years ago. Every little bit you do helps, and they still use energy, even if they don't use as much. And a lot of us have older houses. I mean, the house I live in was built about 70 years ago. Mind you, the hot water heater is not 70 years old, but it's got quite a few years on it, so it's probably not as efficient as it could be. There you go. Well, thanks for sharing with us. I appreciate that. Everybody does what they want to do for themselves and for whatever motivations or reasons they may have, be they ecological, be they fiscal, be they ethical. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm not shoving any of these tips down anybody's throats. I'm throwing them out there. If you feel that they're good for you, you can use them. You can adopt them if you want. And if you don't want to, that doesn't make you a bad person. That just makes you a human being and a person of independent thought, and that is okay. So I judge no one, and I accept everyone the way they are. So, again, this is the TNT Open Forum. Welcome to everybody who's listening to us live. Welcome to our podcast listeners. We're in our rag chew session. We're in our open mic session right now. So anybody who'd like to check in with comments or questions, come on aboard now. My name's Pete, V2XPL in Montreal. The mics are open. All right, starting to wind down. Michael, KD0CDQ, I think I told you I'd come back to you. Is there anything you would like to add? You seem to have quite a few interesting points in your arsenal. Over to you.
Well, I just got hot on the idea when I saw what the topic was going to be. I just checked the internet and checked with some kids and see what they were doing just to get some idea what's happening. It's a whole different world we're going into. It's so different. There's so many different career paths people can take if they wish to in this environmental awareness period that's coming along here. I don't believe we can build a dam to slow down the environmental needs that we see. Not so much because of anything happening in the environment. It's just that there's so many people, and there's such a great growth coming of people. So we have to be considerate of each other. And the best way to be considerate is to keep this planet the way we found it. Kind of like when you go camping, you should leave it cleaner than when you got there. Well, on this planet, we try so hard. And with all this recycling we're doing, I don't know if it's helping. I know it's very costly to communities to do this recycling. And but we do it here. We have the recycling here. But it's a new thing, only about 2 years now. It's new. But I think it'll spread. We just got to be conservative as we go through our day and think a little bit before we do things. That's about all I have here, Pete. I'm about ready to fade away myself here. I'm getting so interested in this Morse code thing that Gordon got me started on here. I'm starting to look for parallels in some of these letters so that I can better put them away in my little brain. That's about all I have here, Pete. Back to you. This is KD0CDQ.
Oh, very good, Michael. Thank you very much. Forgot to mention that I had to remute IRLP station 28, who I believe just disappeared right before my eyes. IRLP station 2870, who was causing continuous interference. And sadly, he's not there anymore. So well, hopefully he'll come back and the problem will be solved. So, well, thank you very much, Michael. And thanks also to Kathy. Kathy, who was going off to have supper, late supper indeed. I'm always shocked. Kathy and as well as Gordon often tell me they're having suppers what I consider to be almost my bedtime, so but to each his own, that's all good. Yes, indeed, I like that. You should leave camping a little bit cleaner than you left it. That's what I was learnt, what I was learnt. There's some good English for you. That's what I was taught when I was in Boy Scouts when I was very young. Always leave the environment you enter, you should always leave it the same or better than what you found it in, and that's certainly what we try to do with our planet. You know, the arguments for global warming, they go back and forth. Some people say yes, some people say no. We're at the end of a glacial period. Where, you know, the last glacial period, I did a quick search, the last glacial period, which is not to be confused with an ice age, the last glacial period ended 10,000, 12,000 years ago, roughly. But we're at the end of an ice age. So global warming is a natural process of the end of an ice age. The ice is melting. The planet's getting warmer. You know, things have been cyclical for as long as time has been time. So the last glacial period over, the last ice age, we're still at the end of it. So global warming kind of makes sense from that argument. But what scientists are saying, they're not denying that, you know, it's kind of natural for us to go into cycles over years and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. But the fact that there's billions of humans on the planet now, the fact that there's been industrialization, there's a lot more pollution than there was at the end of the last ice age because there wasn't as many people around. So are we helping it along? I think we are. is it as critical as they say? Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I think that we owe it to ourselves and to future generations, however, to treat the planet as good as you can, because it's the only planet you got, you know? I don't know if you guys watch Discovery, the Mythbusters, you know, they say Mars is too cold, Venus is too hot, and the Earth is just right, and it's all you got, you know. So basically, if for no other reason, err on the side of caution. So with that, is there anybody else who'd like to chime in at this time? Welcome to the TNT Open Forum. The mics are open.
Yeah, good evening. This is VK8FKAA. Calling from Australia.
Oh, roger that. VK8FKAA, welcome aboard. You're on the TNT Open Forum, and we're going green tonight.
Yeah, roger that. I've just been having a listen in to the forum tonight. Yeah, very, very interesting. I just wanted to say that over this way, we do a few things to try and be green and to try and save power. And I do believe that the input definitely from humans is certainly affecting the planet at least to some degree for sure. But we do things here like recycling, of course, switching power off at the power points, recycling garden waste to make fuel as well. We've got a bit of a project happening in the city where I live, which is Darwin in the Northern Territory. In Australia, so yeah, we certainly it all helps, and everyone's got a good community spirit about it. Over.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad to hear that. That's an interesting. Could you elaborate a little bit on how you use the waste to turn it into fuel energy? Back to you.
Yeah, roger. I'm not completely up with the specifics how they do it, the specifics of it, but down at the local dump here, the waste centre in Darwin, they break down the material from the trees, the grass clippings, palm fronds, and convert it into energy to make power. And currently it's being used to as a support power, backup to power. I think it can power about 300 houses, 300-400 houses. It's a bit of a project that's been going on, so and there's a few other, some bigger projects within Australia where they're doing projects like this, powering I think over 1,000 houses in different cities. So yeah, that's a little bit about how it works. Over.
Yeah, okay, roger that. Yeah, no, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I didn't mean for you to go into the physics or the chemistry of how it works, but that's exactly what I wanted to know. You completely answered my question. That's a very, very interesting project, and I'm glad that you're, it sounds like your community or your country is very progressive and proactive in that field, and I applaud you for that. I think that's a great thing, and like I said, anything you could do helps, and the ideas that we discussed tonight is just a pin drop, a drop in the bucket. There's so many other things that we can do and think of, and as time goes on, I'm sure that we'll get more and more ideas. So you have anything else to add on that, VK8FKAA, back over to you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I won't add too much. I'll let some others have a go. But the point that we recycle in our household. My wife and I, my wife's really got me into it. She's big on recycling. So I wasn't too fussed about it before, but now I can see why and see the benefits. So we recycle as much as we can, and turning the power off at the power points, like when you finished with your TV or the air conditioning, mobile phone chargers, just unplugging them or turning them off at the power point can save you quite a noticeable amount on your power bill. I think we've saved, it might only be $100 or $200, but that's pretty good. So just a point for people to keep in mind, and I'll hand it back to you, and thank you for letting me have a few words.
Well, roger that. Thank you for coming aboard. I appreciate the comments. That was one of the tips, was turning off the power points. And there you go. We have living, breathing proof that you can save some money by doing that. And like I said, On its own, a computer doesn't, do a whole lot to the pocketbook, but if you add, especially as ham radio operators, we all have, you know, just in our shacks, tons of gadgets that can be unplugged at the source that might, especially the newer machines, you know, that tend to have, like I said, the bright LCD displays and clocks and flashing things and bells and whistles that go off. So anything that you can turn off that isn't going to use energy when you're not there. What I've done in my shack, everything is on power bars. The original reasoning for that was more for safety, but the added bonus is that there's switched power bars. I can just turn everything off with two switches. You know, I have two power bars on two separate circuits. So it's very easy to me to shut, you know, after I shut things down, I hit the power bars and I know that there's no residual power being used by anything in the shack. Also, it's a good idea in your shack to have main power points, of course, as you guys know, just because you want to have, you know, one or two main kill switches should some of your equipment decide to go up in smoke. And it's also a good idea for your family members to know where those kill switches are, because something should happen and you're not home, you want them to be able to deal with the situation too. One, to save your equipment, but even more to save your house and in your family. So a little interesting shack tip, but that could also be elaborated to all kinds of other stuff in your house. Our entertainment system in the living room, the TV, DVD player, are on a power bar as well, and we shut those down at the end of the night. So like I said, you know, we do a little bit. We could probably do a lot better, but we're learning like everybody else, and every little bit contributes. And you were saying that it's your wife that was doing that, you know, helping you recycle and incite you at your house. Here it's our kids. You know, the kids learn it in school, so they come home, and if we throw a toilet paper roll in the garbage, it's like, no, you got to recycle that. And so it's a good reminder. Kids are a really good reminder of how to go green, because they're living it. You know, they haven't known a world where you weren't trying to go green, like many of us baby boomers. So a very interesting point indeed. Does anybody else want to chime in to the TNT Open Forum? The mics are open. Welcome aboard. All right, starting to wind down a little bit. Now we've been going for 93 and a quarter minutes now, so that's good. We've said about all we've had to say. Coming up on the TNT Open Forum Waveguides podcast in the weeks to come, well, next week is open presently, because I had originally planned on doing this show next week, but we moved it up 1 week because of scheduling conflicts. So next week we'll come up with something interesting for you guys. We have a little series called Back to Basics that we'll be presenting in the next few months as well, basically presenting the basics of electronics and ham radio. We hope you'll tune in for that. February 10th coming up, we will have our special Valentine's Day show hosted by Kathy, K6SUN. We'll be talking about the women in ham radio. Looking forward to that. The end of the month, we're going to have an open forum, roundtable rag chew. That's always a lot of fun. That'll be coming back more regularly as well, we hope. And if you guys have any topics of interest that you'd like to hear about, if you have a subject that you want to hear about, or if you have a subject that you'd like to present, please drop us a line at voip@southcars.com. We'd be glad to take your suggestions for shows. We're always looking for topics. I mean, we have a lot on our own, but there might be some great topic out there that we just haven't thought of. So please send us your emails. Don't be shy about that. We'll be glad to read them. We'll even read them on the air if you want, give you your 15 minutes of fame. And also, as Michael mentioned, it's not up, I don't believe it's up on the breaking news page of the voip.southcars.com website yet, but Southcars will be hosting a Morse code course starting in a few weeks. The exact details will be unveiled shortly, so keep an eye out on voip.southcars.com for more information concerning that. I've already signed up for the Morse code course. I'm very excited about that. We've already got, it's not advertised yet, and I think we already have six or seven participants. So I think that will be a great, great way to initiate those of you. You know, Morse code has that kind of appeal, that mystery to it, that nostalgic draw to ham radio. You know, you can't, whether you agree or not, you can't talk ham radio without, and I don't mean QSOs, but you can't talk about ham radio without talking about Morse code. And they kind of go hand in hand, you know, whether you're interested in learning it or not. It's an integral part of the history and the heritage of ham radio, and I'm very excited about it. So keep an eye out, and I hope that you guys participate in huge numbers, because it's going to be a good one. In the continuing outreach series of South Cars training courses, another one is added in 2011. So with that, I guess we'll make one last call for alcohol, as George Thorogood says. We'll make one final call for check-ins on the TNT Open Forum before we shut it down. Welcome aboard. This will be your last opportunity to chime in.
Can you call off your fixture there?
Well, come on. I'll start by saying have a good night to Michael, KD0CDQ, saying good night in the text box, and KD4OVI, come on aboard.
Okay, the topic, Pete, for maybe in the near future is the subject of saving water, conserve water. I know there might be a whole bunch of topics, a whole bunch of creative ways of saving water. Maybe you want to make that a subject matter in the future. Over.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, I saw the comment in the text box too, and I jotted it down. Saving water could be a good subject for Going Green Part 3. Probably won't do them every week. You guys will get sick of me, but I think we'll bring this topic back every once in a while, maybe on a quarterly basis, because it's the second show that I've done on this topic, and it's inviting a lot of discussion, and I like that. So I think it's a very newsworthy topic. You know, you hear about it all the time. So saving water is a good thing, and it is duly noted, my friend. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, Pete, when you have that, when you put it on your docket there, let me know in terms of what dates. I'd like to be a participant in it also, over.
Oh, Roger that. We'll do. We'd be glad to have you aboard, of course. Once again, noted on this piece of paper right here. So thanks for that. I appreciate the input. I invite people to send me their topics of discussion a lot, but I don't get a lot of... I've got a lot of emails, so if you guys want to bombard me with emails, tell me you love me, tell me you hate me, just send me emails so I know you guys are out there. And at the same time, throw in some suggestions for things you'd like to hear. Very good. All right, we'll break with Pete, KD4OVI, and see if there's any other check-ins for the TNT Open Forum. We're on our last call. All right, well, hearing nothing on a long pause, I'd like to thank all the stations who checked in tonight, all the stations who connected. We had over 30 individual stations connect tonight at one time or another, so a huge success, one of the better turnouts we've had in quite a while. So I'm guessing that, it's January, it's cold, people tend to stay inside more, so that's good. We had a big family tonight, so thanks to everyone who is connected. Thanks to all of our shortwave listeners, all of our podcast listeners, and a special thank you to all the participants, all of our co-hosts, and all of the people who chimed in with their opinion. Your input is valuable, and I appreciate everyone for being there and for listening to me every week, for putting up with me every week for the last 2.5 years now. So, that's not true. 1.5 years. I'm trying to get older too. I'm trying to get old too fast. So. Like I said, stay tuned next week. We'll have another edition of the TNT Open Forum on January 13th. The topic will be still a mystery. It's even still a mystery to me, so I can't tell you what it is yet. So with that, I'll say 7-3 to y'all, and have a good week. Have a safe week, and we'll talk to you soon. This is V2XPL in Montreal. And we'll return the server to regular amateur use. Good night, everyone.
Thank you very much, Pete. You did a terrific show tonight. I like that. It keeps your mind working on what other alternatives there for energy. So that was a good discussion. I like that. Good show. Can I give you an A- on that, Pete? Katie Fool, ask everything.